So we're in a message series that we've titled, This is the Way. It comes from an Old Testament verse out of the book of Isaiah. And it's a verse that says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, go to the right or to the left. And it says, this is the way, walk in it. And so we've talked about this, that we have a living God who is still living, who is active and speaks and leads and guides us still today. And so as we walk in accordance with his will, we want to be able to hear the voice of God. We want to discern the direction that he is leading us. And today we're going to talk about that in the sense of walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit of God. And so when we use that term walking in the Spirit, we're talking about it. The Bible uses it as a metaphor, if you will. So we're not physically walking in anything, but to walk in the Spirit means how we live our Christian lives every day, that we're walking not in accordance with the flesh, but walking in accordance with the Spirit of God. A couple weeks ago, I was with some of my family at Chick-fil-A, and we checked out, and when I went to pay, the total was $36.66. And immediately, now you know racing people are superstitious. We wear the same socks every weekend, whatever. And so immediately I thought, well, I'm going to add a cookie, so I changed that total. Now, I don't know why I didn't think of, I do know why, but I didn't think about adding fruit. I immediately thought about adding a cookie to change the price. And then as I thought about it for a minute, I thought, you know what? I'm going to let this one ride. I'm just going to leave it. I don't believe it's going to have any authority over me. It's way out of context from Revelation 13 and the Mark of the Beast. So I'm just going to roll with it. And really the thought process is that I'm a child of God, right? I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I mean, certainly a total that comes out to a certain number at Chick-fil-A has no authority and no bearing over me. And I don't always get that right, but at least for that moment, I thought, I'm going to walk in the Spirit of God and not what the world says has authority or control over me or even superstition, if you will. So as we talk about walking in the Spirit, the Bible says this, and Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians, that our bodies are the temple of the living God, that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Jesus said this in John chapter 14. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses in your bulletin today, just for the sake of time, so I'm going to paraphrase some of them. But in verse 17, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so the Spirit of God for believers lives inside of each one of us. Now, our text today is going to come out of Galatians chapter 5, okay? We're going to start in verse 16. And here's what it says about walking in the Spirit. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here's this metaphor about walking in the Spirit. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, and just circle that word in your mind, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so sometimes we're not wanting to do what the Spirit of God is wanting us to do. And so those two are at odds. They're opposed to each other, and they're opposed to each other for our good. And so I try to remind people all the time when I'm speaking to them about this, if you have conviction over your life or in your life about something that you're doing that you feel like or that you know that is at odds with the Spirit that God doesn't want you to do, that's a good thing, okay? And the reason that I say that's a good thing is because it means that God is living in your life through the Holy Spirit, convicting you. It's good that those two are opposed to one another because God is leading us that way through His Spirit to walk in His Spirit. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes. But then it says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and I used ellipses here for some of these just in case there were kids with a bulletin, but you can fill in those blanks later if you want to read those. They're immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you can think about them this way. Those things are indicators, okay? They're revealing, they're showing in our life if those things are the things that are leading us instead of the Spirit. So we could use, and I don't have time to talk about each one of these, but if you take just drunkenness, maybe, for example. Now, I'm not against alcohol. I'm against drunkenness, right? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And so if we find ourselves there in those states of drunkenness, then it's, you know, the flesh that's leading us. That's what the Bible says. Or just take, for example, fits of anger. We've all had a fit of anger at some point in time, right? And so even in that very moment, we can look at that moment and go, you know what? I've let the flesh control this very moment rather than the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to lead me in this. Now, when we read that and it says, those will not inherit the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean you can't be saved. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation if you do those things. But rather, if somebody is living this way without any conviction, right, they're probably not following the Lord. They're probably not in relationship with the Lord. And so that's why I say, when the Spirit of God is convicting us of stuff, it's a good thing because it means that God is working in our lives. But then it goes on to say in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And these are also indicators, and these are also things that we can choose, right? So when we talk about walking in the Spirit, we can choose to walk in the Spirit, or we can let the flesh dictate that and walk in the flesh. For example, you know, Chick-fil-A, 3666. It's not the mark of the beast, right? That's way out of context. Or maybe you came in here today, or maybe you've had a pretty bad day and you don't have a lot of joy, right? You can choose joy because that's what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. Like, the way that your day's going may not be making you that happy, but we can still choose joy if we say, you know what? I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Things may not be going exactly how I feel, but I'm going to choose to walk in the Spirit. Or maybe you don't have a lot of peace at times, right? We choose to walk in the Spirit because peace comes from walking in the Spirit of God. Like, one of the things that, and I just want to touch on it quickly, that has taken or affected my peace lately are the things that are taking place in the Middle East. Makes me angry, makes me frustrated. Makes me sad, all of those emotions, if you will, right? And all of those are bubbling up inside me as I watch what is taking place in the Middle East. And so I want to just read something to you because there's a few people that believe that it's possible that we could see the Ezekiel 37 and 38 prophecy fulfilled in our lifetime. With the things that are surrounding Jerusalem, the things that are taking place. Now, I don't have time to go deep into this, but it's a great couple chapters to read just to see what it says about Persia, which we know is Iran, Magog, which, you know, may or may not be Russia. We don't know. But I just want to show you what it says prior to that chapter in Ezekiel chapter 36. Here's what it says. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I believe, according to God's word, that God wants the nation of Israel to be there. That's what I believe, according to God's word. I mean, God spoke first on this. Right, and it doesn't matter what anybody else comes along really and says, and I'm not going to get too deep into that, but according to the scripture, I believe that that is the Lord's land. Now, we also see this play out in Revelation, right, at the end of the Bible, when God says that I will be their God and they will be my people. And he's talking about when heaven is restored, when it's finished, when it's done, complete. That includes you and I, that he's going to be our God and he's going to dwell with us. Now, I know those things can be a little bit overwhelming. They can be a little bit scary at times, if you will. So I just want to encourage you. Actually, I want to read something to you before I encourage you, because this may not be that encouraging, depending on how you read it. But in Luke chapter 21, and I don't have the whole chapter in there, but Jesus is telling about signs that will you know, sign and give point towards his return. And he says this, that nations will rise against nation, that there will be famines, there will be earthquakes. He says there will be terrors, right? And he says this in light of this one line that he says, and this will be your opportunity to bear witness. That doesn't sound like much of an opportunity, right? If we're thinking about this from a worldly perspective, but he's telling the disciples, this will be your opportunity, as he's telling them this, to bear witness about the gospel, to bear witness about the good news. He says Jerusalem will be surrounded and there'll be signs in the sky. And just last weekend, we had an eclipse, right? Now, I'm not saying it is or isn't. What I'm saying is this. After that, this is what Jesus said in verse 28. He said, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, again, it's not a physical stand up. It means that we're to fix our eyes, as it says in Hebrews, on the author and perfecter of our faith. That yes, those things matter. They do absolutely matter. That's why they burden our hearts like that. And they should matter. And we should continue to pray for all the people that are involved. But we should also be ready. We should also be looking to the author and perfecter of our faith. And we do that by practicing walking in the Spirit of God, trusting Him, walking with Him daily, surrendering every moment that we can, every thought that we can take captive and surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And so that's why I put in your bulletin that we practice walking in the Spirit. I'm not going to read all of this in Philippians 4, but I want to pick up in verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so that's what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, that we're practicing putting these thoughts in our mind. We've all had thoughts that are not lovely, not pure, not worthy of praise, not excellent, right? We've all had those thoughts. And so as we walk in the Spirit, we're choosing to just trust God with those things and to walk in His Spirit and think about those things. Because you are absolutely going to have the opportunity, maybe in the next few minutes, but definitely in the next few hours and as the week, you know, comes on, things that are going to steal those thoughts, and you get the opportunity to practice walking by the Spirit. To say, I'm going to trust you, Lord, with that, and I'm going to try to think on things that are praiseworthy, that are excellent. What is true? Well, there's a lot of things that are true, but the first and most important thing is the good news of the gospel of Christ, right? We don't work for salvation, right? But we do have to work at walking by the Spirit. That's why Paul said practice those things. Over the last couple weeks, I've been trying to play golf with my son, who's 15, because I've only got a few more years before he moves out and goes to college, and he's really good, and I'm not very good, okay? Especially compared to how I used to play. I have these high expectations, and I can't meet them, and I go out there, and I'm just terrible. Like, it drives me crazy. I want to be good again. And the only way to be good again is just like it is with anything else. You have to practice, right? Now, not that I have a lot of time to practice hitting golf balls, right? If we want to grow in our walk with the Lord, we have to practice spiritual disciplines. Now, don't confuse the two. It says there in Romans that God did what the law could not do, right? We're not saved by walking in the Spirit. We grow in our relationship in the Lord by walking in the Spirit. And so continue to do those things. Continue to practice. We're not always going to get those things right. But when given the opportunity, have that on the forefront of your minds that we're going to practice thinking about things that are true, lovely, admirable, worthy of praise. And if you don't have joy, if you don't have peace today, if you don't have those things that we read about there in Galatians, just choose to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And those two are opposed to one another because God has good things. things for us. So let me pray for you guys, and we'll get you out of here. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your living word. I pray, Lord, for every single person in here that we would do our best to walk in the Spirit, that we would continue to try to take thoughts captive for you, that you would lead us, that we would try our best to think about things that are true and lovely and admirable and worthy of praise. And so, God, we begin by just honoring you. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. And God, I pray that you would help each one of your people here today do that. And so we love you. Would you be with us today and keep everyone safe? In Christ's name, amen.